That being said, are you ready for the word Mark? Chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We've been talking about utilizing our faith to receive of God's promises. Amen. We've already gone to 2 Peter chapter 1 where it says God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. That through the promises you can receive of God's best. Does anybody want blessing on their life?
Amen.
I want favor on my life. I want that God's hand of approval and His hand of His provided benefit is on my life. I want things in my life to line up for blessing to overflow in my life, to overtake my life. I want no matter what I do, because God's blessing is on it, I want it to prosper and produce. It says, whoever meditates the word day and night shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth his fruit in the season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. God says, with my assistance, you'll win. Need to understand, God is a loving Father. And He wants His kids to come out on top. Any of you guys got kids? Did you like your kids losing? No, I don't like my kids losing. I didn't like them failing. I didn't like them doing anything, you know, that indicated I wasn't a good parent, or that, you know, they were coming up short. So I like to see my kids win or prosper or be blessed. Amen. And God's the same way. And guess what? You'd get in and help your kids. I don't know that my children, when they were at home with me, ever did a science project on their own. Most science projects in our house were delayed until about the week or weekend before they were due. Then, Daddy, can you help me with the science project? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Daddy, can you help me? And we put together a bunch of science projects, you know, that I had them do, but I helped them come up with how to do it and went and got tools and worked on, you know, we did science. Why? I don't want them to fail science project. Get up there and it's their time to present. What do you got? I ain't got nothing. My dad wouldn't help me. I want them to have something that demonstrates they understood the topic, you know, and the subject, and did well at it. Well, God's the same way. He didn't like his kids failing. He didn't like the devil winning in battles over you. He doesn't like you falling flat. So he says, I'm going to give you everything you need in life to win. You will have my favor. You will have my authority. You will have my power. And besides that, I'm giving you a whole package of blessings. I mean, a whole, you know, you remember the Batman comic book, TV show, movies and stuff? He always carried this. What was big in the comic books was he always carried this utility belt. No matter what he needed, it was always in the utility belt. Oh, we need a 12-man raft. You know, with a 20 horsepower engine to drive us through. They all got one in utility belt. There was a 12-man boat. Amen. Or whatever it needed. It was in the utility belt. It was like his belt of packaged promises for whatever he needed for whatever situation. Amen. Whatever the need, got it right there. And if that didn't do it, the boomerang always took care of every situation. The batarang, right? The batarang. In the same way, God says, I've equipped you with my utility belt of every promise you'll ever need. In your utility belt from God is the healing power of God. In it is the prospering power of God. It's the peace and joy, you know, capsules of God. Everything you need is in that utility belt. And no matter what situation you come into, in that utility belt is what you need through partnership with God to win in that situation. And long suffering, that's right. Everything you need is in that utility belt. Amen? And it equips us to win over every challenge the enemy will throw across our path. Why? Because God wants to equip you to come out on top. Now see, one thing I did with the girls with their science projects, I never did it for them. Never did it for them. I helped them get it laid out. I said, now you do the experiments. You write down the results, you write the report, and I'm just helping you be equipped with everything you need to do the science project. And I don't know, I think they still got a couple of them laid around that they got good grades on, because, you know, it turned out really well. And they learned, I believe, you know, what they were supposed to learn. In the same way, God's not going to do it for you. God doesn't say, okay, you're my child, now I'm doing everything for you. Just get out of the way, don't do anything. Amen. Just, you know, sit back on the TV, run a remote control, blessing is going to overtake your life. No, He said, your faith without your works is dead being alone. So I will partner with you to the level you will partner to get it done. And as you'll put your hand to it, I will then bless it to cause it to come out on top. If you will speak the word, if you'll believe the promise, if you'll stand on what I've said, you will see heaven, the heavens open up to cause you to be victorious in that situation. But if you do nothing, amen, if you decide you don't need to work the word, you don't need to go to church, you don't need to, you know, to cast down opposing thoughts, then guess what? You'll lose because you're not willing to do the homework. You know, the preparatory work to win in these situations. But we are called to win. Amen. God's given us everything we need to win. So we're talking about, in this teaching right now, we're talking about how can we unwrap these promises? What is it we need to do to see the power of God combined with the situations in our life to give us the victory? Do you follow that? Because so many people say, well, if God wanted me to fly, He'd have gave me wings. Well, no, He gave men that would seek Him and men that would, you know, do the right research, the wisdom to build an airplane. He gave the ability to earn a living to buy a ticket to get on an airplane. So you don't need wings. You just need the wisdom to get on a plane somebody else had the wisdom to build. Amen. And so many people are just waiting for God to move in their life. If God would just move here, then I would do this. If God would give me $1 million and I'd donate it here. If God would do this. And God's saying, you move first. It's your job to step out and then I will bless it. I will partner, God says, with what you put your hand to do. Because He said, whatever you do will prosper. Amen. As long as what we're doing is in line with the Word of God. Amen. As long as what we're doing is in line with the will of God. But if we'll find out the will of God and what His promises to us are and stand on those promises, we will see God bless our lives. It says in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Have faith like God. God had so much faith, has so much faith. He said, let there be a universe, and it was created. And He says, we can have faith like that. We have creative authority available that we can release through faith. He says, for verily, now this is Jesus speaking. Does anybody believe Jesus? It's amazing how many people explain away the words of Jesus. Well, I just don't believe that faith stuff. Then you have a problem with the Son. Your issue's not with me, it's with the one who wrote this book. Are you following me? It's the Savior's the one that said, have faith like God. That's not my decision, not my idea. If it was up to me, I'd probably make it easier. I'd just say, okay, here's how you get saved. Just say, Jesus is Lord, and now blessings overtake your life. You never have to work again. But that's not the way it works. So we have to go with the book. So Jesus says this, I believe one of the most important couple verses in all of Scripture, telling us how the kingdom of God operates. Now, how it operates now. He says, for verily or truly, I say unto you. Now he's talking to a bunch of fishermen with no scientific knowledge, not like we have today. Amen. He's talking to a group that are probably relatively uneducated. And they've been raised all their life in the natural world like you have. And he's about to take their minds beyond the natural. He's about to say, you cannot use your mind in a natural fashion like you have in the past. If you want to operate out of the kingdom of God, there's got to be a shift in the way you think to think supernaturally. Now, they just saw him curse the fig tree and it was dried up from the roots. And they said, how did you do that? I mean, they're amazed. How did this happen? They've been watching Raise the Dead all along and now a tree dies and they're like amazed. How can this be? All you did is say tree die. And it's dead. Now see, they're used to him releasing that anointing, laying hands on people, and you know, the sick are healed and all. And so I'm sure they're of the mindset there's some power source on him. that when he touches people, they're healed. But in this case, he just says, tree, die. Nobody picked fruit of you again, right? And the next day, the tree is withered. And they knew it was his words that did it. And they're amazed. How did mere words cause this shift? And he starts to tell them, if you want to see the power of God, there's got to be a shift in your thinking that you start thinking in alignment with a whole other set of creative possibilities. You got to let your mind be liberated from the restriction or limitation of natural expectation and recognize the true power of words that God said is supposed to exist. He says, for verily, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, understand the mountain represents any obstacle in your life. If you can move a mountain out of your life, there shouldn't be anything be able to stand in your way. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Everybody say believe.
Believe.
But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus says, if you, whoever, this applies to anybody, whoever, that will comprehend that there's authority in their words, and will speak into a situation and believe that there's authority in their words, they shall see the results of whatever they've released words to produce. Understand here the changes in the saith. The authority is released in the words. When we're going to talk about operating by faith, there's got to be a shift in our thinking to recognize the power of words. The words that you speak. Amen. Again, I'm sure we'll look at it, you know, here soon, but it says in Proverbs 18, death and life is in the power of the tongue. It says the tongue is a great rudder in James chapter 3 that steers the ship. Amen. So the tongue, according to God's system of operation, is where you release the power of God from. I have a air compressor at home that, you know, I use quite frequently, and I've got a decent sized air compressor. I got a 5-horse compressor at home with a big tank, you know, to do painting and stuff with. And I can pump that tank up to 120 pounds or whatever pressure. And that pressure in that tank represents stored power. I can run my air tools with it. I can run the air hammer, the air chisel, you know, whatever I want to, the air tools to produce whatever through that stored power. It's all in that tank. If that tank was to get a weak spot, that tank would blow all over the place because there's that much power in that tank at 120 PSI, which is nothing compared to what's in like a scuba tank. Amen? Now you're talking about 2,000 PSI. And all that pressure is released through me just pushing a little button. I push one little button and that air hammer goes. I mean, if I've got, you know, tight bolts on the car and I want to get them loose, get the air hammer. You know. Muffler bolts. And here goes this air hammer. Crank it to 90 pounds. That's when this thing starts jerking on stuff and things will rip loose. It's going, something's coming loose. Amen. And it'll keep hammering until the pressure's gone. All released by one little pull of the trigger. One little push of the button. Do you follow me? Stored power at the push of a button. Well, I don't believe all that push that button stuff. I got the tools to prove it. You can come over to my house. Well, don't, but you know, you could it with the right invite. I don't want to be showing up here tonight, you know, like we want to see the air compressor. I don't believe there is such a thing as air compressors. I got to see it. Amen. I won't believe it till I see it. I have an air compressor. You push the button, you know, power is released. And God says, you need to understand that's how the kingdom of God works. But the button is pushed by your tongue. Your words carry authority to release a stored power of heaven which far supersedes 120 PSI. We have unlimited power supply in heaven that God says your tongue has the ability to form and control that power to the specific needs you have. Speak into the situation. And Jesus said, there's power in your words that if you believe what you say, you can command a mountain to be uprooted and thrown in the sea and it must obey you. So one of the most primary revelations you must get to operate in faith is that the power is in what you say. And it totally goes contrary to natural thinking. Our natural thinking just says words are words. Words are words. But when you're partnering with God, words carry power. See, my girls fuss sometimes because growing up I didn't have any sons, so I made them my helper so often. Amen. So, you know, they can probably tell you what a lug wrench is from a crescent wrench from an air hammer. Probably. I don't know. You can quiz them later and find out. They'll appreciate that. Because I'd say, hand me the ratchet. Get me the half-inch socket. You know, I'm under a car or whatever. They're scrambling like, what's a socket? My instructions to them, through their partnership, allow me to receive the tool that I needed. Or the support or whatever assistance I needed. Words communicated my needs for their assistance. If I was to say to them, and they'd let me know quick, if I'd have said, Lori, well, let's use Amy because she's not here. You'll agree with that, right? Amen. If I'd have said, Amy, why didn't you hand me the half-inch ratchet? She'd have said, you never asked me to. What's that got to do with anything? I needed the half-inch ratchet. Why don't I have the half-inch ratchet? But, Dad, you didn't tell me to get it. In other words, I never released words to indicate my need for her partnership. If I never release words to indicate my need for her partnership, why would I expect her assistance in what I'm doing? That would be ludicrous. And God said, your words partner you with me. Give me specific understanding of the partnership level you need or you're believing for. Amen. And believing what you say activates the promises of God I've made to allow it to be provided into your life. Did you follow me on that? God says your words are indications of instructions that my promises are programmed to fulfill. So if you command the mountain to be thrown in the sea, you have formed words that said, okay, mountain, I'm in partnership with God. He's given me authority over you as a mountain. You must be removed out of my path and thrown out of my way according to the promise I have of God. Amen. And because I believe that I have a partnership with God and I believe there's power in the words that I speak, the words that I speak release power that you must obey. You have what you say because you believe what you say. Partners you with the God who backs up what you say. In the Old Testament, God went this far regarding His prophetic promises. He says, concerning the work of my hands, command you me. Speak forth in faith supernatural, divinely backed up results. Now again, I know this sounds crazy, but what I'm telling you is why most people don't see God results in their prayers. They don't see God move on behalf of their prayers. Why? Because they're asking things versus commanding things. Most people are asking God to do something He says, I've already done. And they're not decreeing and declaring. They're not believing the words they say. They're more in a begging or pleading relationship with God. So they're saying, God, won't you please heal me? And there's no belief there. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. And the Word of God declares, by His stripes you were healed. You were healed 2,000 years ago through the cross. So faith says, I believe what God has already promised and we declare it as accomplished. So to keep saying, God, won't you please, is demonstration of your unbelief of the promise He's already given to us. And you want to see God move on your prayers? Get in the Word, meditate the Word till you believe it, and then decree it. Declare it. Declare what God has said with boldness and confidence that's birthed out of knowing that you know God cannot lie and what He told you He will do. This isn't Hosea. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What we don't know can kill us. I don't know how many men died in the process of discovering how to fly, but it's a lot. Have you ever watched any documentaries on the history of flight, on the development of flight before the Wright brothers ever flew their plane? A whole bunch of men died trying to. Building balloons, building gliders, building stuff that could never possibly fly, but they thought it might. Diving off a cliff with stuff strapped to their back. Let's see if this works. You only get one shot with that usually. Men dying because of a lack of knowledge. With a vision, but no knowledge. And the Word of God describes to us how the kingdom of God operates. See, regarding the airplanes, men were attempting to activate laws of physics in this realm without total knowledge of the physics of that realm. You know, there are whole segments of engineering that deal with flight alone. For a while, back in the 70s, I was majoring in aeronautical engineering until the space program collapsed and I went into mechanical engineering because there were no jobs in aeronautical. Aeronautical engineering has nothing to do with but the engineering of flight. How airplanes fly. Amen? Which did not exist 100 years before. Why? There were no airplanes. We learned the laws that allow flight existed 150 years ago. They existed. The laws that allow an airplane to fly have been around ever since creation. Amen. We didn't know how those laws operated or how to activate those laws to see an airplane fly up until a little over 100 years ago. Amen. But it was there. In the same way, the kingdom of God operates by different laws in this realm. That was one of the things I had to get a hold of, is that the kingdom of heaven, which is not when we get over into heaven, the kingdom of God is right now for the people of God. Kingdom of heaven just means God's ways of operation. The kingdom of heaven operates by different laws than this one does. Amen? Operates by different regulations, different spiritual laws that are different, sometimes contrary to the ones that operate in this realm. And if you want to operate in the power of God, you must learn the principles of the kingdom of God. If you want to build an airplane, you better learn some aeronautics. Or you could die. Amen? I mean, if you want to build an airplane, learn some aeronautics. If you want to operate in the kingdom of God, learn His spiritual principles. How does this kingdom operate? How do things function in the kingdom? Because the anointing flows according to spiritual principles. Amen? I mean, here's an amazing thing. I operate in the healing power of God. Amen. Healing gifts of the Spirit. Because years ago, I brought my life under the pastorage, the tutelage of Pastor Ron Callahan, who has sought the healing power of God all his life. Now operates in the healing anointing, second to almost no one. But I've sown into his life for years, supporting him every opportunity. If I have the opportunity, we're somewhere and I can pay for it, I pay for whatever, I'm supporting him. And I've said, God, what He's involved in, I'm involved in. And I believe through that partnership, the healing power of God has come on my life. And those that come under me have access to the same healing power. Did you follow me? Now, that's spiritual. That's spiritual transfer of anointing. Now, I have the ability, trying to think of a good example. I could probably build a glider. with what I know. Amen. Maybe a small airplane with a little study and application, probably. But just because Robert's under me doesn't mean he can build an airplane. That may not be the best example. That was just one I was trying to make sure he couldn't do. For example, I believe I have the ability, if I wanted to tear down a car engine and put it back together. Do you have the ability to do that? See, he could have that, so that's why I had to go with the airplane. There are things I can do he can't do. Things he can do I can't do. You follow me? And even though he's under my pastoring, there is no transfer of that knowledge or ability just because he's under me. That's the natural realm. But the spirit realm allows transfer of anointing. Just through partnership. Amen. Just through partnership, it allows it to transfer. So the kings, what I'm trying to get at is the kingdoms operate differently. And if you want to operate in the power of God, you better learn how things in the kingdom operate. Because too many people are trying to take natural thinking and natural mentality into the realm of the spirit and getting whooped. When if you want to win in the kingdom of God, you better learn how the kingdom of God operates. Do you follow that now? One of the primary, if not the primary, lesson you can learn in the kingdom of God is that words carry the authority of the kingdom of God. If you believe them. If you're partnered with God and you believe the Word of God He's promised and you develop faith in what God has said, you can release those words through your tongue and heaven will back it up. Did you follow me? But you must believe what you say. So one of the primary messages of the kingdom of God is, and to operate in faith, one of the primary areas you must understand is you have what you say if you believe what you say, and if what you say lines up with what God has said is permissible in the kingdom. Amen. Words release the power of God. They're the trigger on the air hammer. Amen. Again, Scripture calls them the rudder of a mighty ship or the bit in the horse's mouth. That through that bit you control the direction of that horse. Your tongue, as a member of the church, controls your direction as a child of God. And you have a right to develop your faith and lead your life into victory. Or you have a right, as the five foolish virgins did, not to do anything or not to do very much with their time regarding the kingdom of heaven and miss out. We are called to win. Amen? Learn to monitor what you say and to weed out what does not agree with the Word of God. We're gonna go into some depth into talking about, you know, this, the power of your words and such, but understand God can never anoint your words to any high level if they're intertwined with words of death and defeat. Because you don't want God anointing every word you say if the majority of your words are, you know, regarding the curse. Well, how many want God to answer your prayers? Oh, yeah, God answer my prayers. How many want to operate in resurrection life power that your dead situation can be resurrected and you win? I want that. But I recognize I don't want God fulfilling everything I say. I don't want the anointing or the authority on everything I say. If half the time I'm saying I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired, I could just die. There you go. You wanted power on your words. So I believe that the level you can step into the anointing of God to see His partnership on what you say is limited by how much you can control what you say all the time. Amen. Because the Word doesn't say death and life is in the power of tongue when you say in Jesus' name. Amen. It's on your words. And like we talk about with, you know, Elisha, once he got the double portion, the first thing he did, he did a miracle. Amen. Next thing you know, he does, he loses his temper and curses 42 kids and a bear kills them. That was not the will of God. That was a man with the anointing who had not yet learned to control his tongue. And I believe his end times, God wants the kids not, you know, ripped up by bears. Hallelujah. So to move to this place of radical faith, you must learn to control your words. Slow to speak, quick to hear. Amen. Why? Because if you run off at the mouth all the time, you'll be cursing more than you're blessing. A man must believe the words he carries, or a woman must believe the words they carry. Carry authority. And then watch what you say accordingly. Amen. So Jesus says, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe. A key component of your faith words producing is to believe. Your partnership with God only extends to the level you believe you have partnership with God. And your partnership with God only extends to the level you believe through that partnership what you say is backed up by heaven. And that partnership only extends to the level you believe what He has said is a promise to you. So we as people that want to see the power of God manifested, finding the Word His promises, areas where He's made a promise to us, made a declaration to us of what we can have, or what we've been given provision to, and we get that Word embedded within us so that we know that God gave it to us, and it's ours on demand. Amen? And that when you speak that promise, it is activated in your life. And through that believing what He has said, and understand this is a supernatural, how can I say, process, that you believe what He said. That you spent time meditating it, reading it, pondering it, until something happens that moves down inside of your spirit, that a link is made, that you know it is yours, and then you can speak it in faith. And God says, when that link is made, you can ask what you will and it'll be done. Amen. But you must ask in faith, not in wavering, not in questioning. And questioning is only removed after you've meditated that promise long enough that you know that you possess it. Amen. So understand believing now is a key component to faith. You must believe. In fact, I want to take some time and go through a few verses that deal with the word believe. So turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, there's a woman who has an issue of blood that's come to Jesus seeking healing. She keeps saying, if I can just but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be whole. She kept saying it. The verb form there is in continuous tense. She kept on saying, but if I can just touch but the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. So she fought through the crowd, touched the hem of His garment, and she was healed every bit, right? But in the process, there was a man. Let's see if I can find this verse. Verse 22, and behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at home, lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she shall, that she may be healed, and she shall live. So he comes, his daughter's dying at the point of death. And he says, Jesus, come, if you can touch her, you know, she may be healed. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And this is where the woman with the issue of blood came up, and she received her healing. So here this man has just witnessed the healing power of God. And a major miracle. I mean, a woman who herself was probably dying gets healed. And while this is all taking place, if we go over to verse number 35, and while he yet spake, let me back up. Yeah, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogues, how certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. Now what was the word that was spoken? Death. The opposite of what they were wanting to take place. Amen. So here is a contrary report. Here the situation of hopelessness has just gone to a dead situation. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Cast down fear. Right now you've seen a miracle. You're in the anointing. You're watching the power of God. Get a hold of what you just saw and believe. Believe only. Believe singularly. And we know what happened. Jesus went to the daughter, raised her from the dead. Amen. And she was made whole. Why? Because a only belief connection was established. You want God to move in your life, you must move into only belief status. So many Christians, you know, give up on faith, or they won't move into faith because they tried that faith stuff, it doesn't work. Faith always works. Faith is a law.
Yes.
Amen. The reason people lose faith battles is because in the process of trying to utilize faith, they did not only believe. Well, how do you know if you're only believing? I can spend usually 5 minutes with somebody to tell if they're only believing. Because in the process of their prayer, you know, talking about what they prayed, they say, well, I prayed for them, but, you know, I don't know if they're going to make it or not. Well, you're not only believing. Well, I know we prayed, but, you know, I've called the funeral director and they've got this set up if I need it. You're not only believing. Amen. Well, we prayed and we're believing God to raise him up, but went in the other day and the symptoms just look much worse. You're not only believing. You're looking at the natural. Just like the words of somebody's mouth represent the release of their authority, they'll also reveal their faith level, whether they are only believing. Because when you only believe, you will see heavenly results. Pastor Woody has told the story a few times. I don't know if he's told it here or not. But when his son Joey was born, I mean, Joey's the genius. Right? I mean, Joey off the chart genius. When Joey was born several years back, the doctor said he was basically, DOA. He was going to die. And no hope, it was over. And Woody says, let me to my baby. I'm going to lay hands on my baby. No, sir, you can't do that. You can't do it. He basically said, if you want to survive the day, you get out of the way between me and my baby, because this is between me and that child and God. You do not want to get between us. Now move. And he went in there, laid hands on the baby, and the baby lived. What happened? He was willing to put all on the line because he only believed. Amen? Willing to step out on only believing. When I blew my back out, I'm stomping around the room. I'm healed and my back's screaming. What? I'm only believing. You follow me? Hitting your head on the dash with the migraines, only believing. That you refuse to entertain thoughts or symptoms that counter what God has promised. Only believe. Because when you only believe, you will only speak words that agree with what God has said. You'll only speak words that decree what you're believing for. Because when you're saying, I'm healed, 3 hours later you're talking about how bad you feel and hope you don't die, You are neutralizing your words of faith. Here's God up in heaven. You come to Him, you know, you build up your faith, say, God, I believe I receive healing power right now. I'm the healer, Lord. He's going, that's good. Come on now. Come on. Yeah, here it comes. And, you know, on the way, the healing power's coming. Momentum's being reversed. All of a sudden, you say, I feel so bad. I think I'm going to die. Somebody, you know, call the ambulance now, whatever. And God's going, what? You're on a roll. And what's this? And He watches that healing power just stop in midair and return to heaven because you spoke words that reversed it. You want a God pulled away? He don't believe enough. Let's pull it back. That's not that. Your words carry the authority. He's going, man, I was getting it to you. Why did you have to go run your mouth in that fashion? Only believe. The problem is few people want to do the homework necessary to only believe. We're a lazy nation. Not addressing you guys, but understand we're the microwave remote control generation. I'm from the old days. Not that I don't love remote controls, but I remember the days of 1 or 2 to 3 channels and need to get up and change the TV. Of course, we had to do more than that. We had to hold the coat hanger just right to get the antenna to work. We put potatoes on everything else trying to get some kind of signal in there. One time, my brothers and I knew how to reach back and twist the antenna just the right way to get the signal to come in. The wires on the back of the TV. And we had those things twisted, getting them, you know, right. Here's a picture, you know, we knew how to do that. And one day my youngest brother thought he'd try it. He was back there fiddling, and we didn't know it. My dad goes to plug it in, or do it, and fire lights up, blows the whole TV. My youngest brother wired it, he'd stuck the wires into the electrical outlet. They go to the antenna. When my dad hooked it up, lit the whole thing up, amen. I think that TV was probably DOA. The point being is your words can neutralize what you want, so only believe. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Well, this faith stuff's too hard. I found it's easier to work my faith than it is to lose the battles. You know what? Now, this is not picking on anybody. Can y'all bear with me if I say a few things and don't feel like I'm picking on you? I've been married one time. You know why? Faith. Hers and mine. Words of faith spoken. Faith anointing released. Amen. We are married because of faith. We're married one time because of faith. Now, if you've been married multiple times, I'm not saying you don't have faith. I'm just telling my case, it's been one time because of faith. The point being is, had I not had faith, I don't know how many times I've been married now. It ain't worth it. Easier to have faith and just do it once. If not for faith, I don't know how many metal rods I'd have in my back and, you know, surgeries I had done and everything else. Not to mention probably dead for the times, you know, faith kept me alive. There's work in developing faith. But the results are worth it. Your marriage is worth it. Your kids are worth it. Amen. None of my kids right now are in jail. None of them are dealing drugs. Amen. None of them out there running crazy in the world. Shooting up. Let me look for your needle marks. You got needle marks? You're trying to elevate your... No, I'm just telling. I spoke over my kids. I've invested in them the Word of God. What are you getting at? I'm saying to have your kids out there running crazy isn't worth it. Better to work the Word in advance. Too many people want to look at God as a rescue God. Oh, God, please rescue me. And God said, if you just do the homework, you won't need rescuing. I don't have to come to God for rescues very often. Well, I've already got the word spoken to keep me in a process of being blessed. I don't need a rescue. And if I need a rescue, I know I've used my faith to a level I know if I need it, He's there. Sow the seed and trust God. Mark chapter 9, I told you to go to, right? And here we have a young boy that has a demonic spirit that throws him in the fire. Amen. Nobody can handle a kid. And the father says, if you can have compassion on us, help us. Verse 23, and Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. Can I turn that around a second? Nothing supernaturally is going to happen to him that doesn't believe. Nothing supernatural is going to happen to him that isn't wavering faith. Nothing's going to happen supernatural to those of someone that, you know, believes part of the time. This kingdom of God thing, we don't realize, is supposed to be an all-out investment. It was never meant to be a part-time party. It was to be a lifestyle. A change in address, a change in nationality, and a change in system of operation. I went to engineering school for 5 years. Amen? 5 years I spent learning the basics, or, you know, the knowledge to do engineering. I was willing to invest 5 years of classes I hated, homework I despised, amen, and time I'd rather use for other things, to gain a bit of knowledge, to let me manipulate numbers to make some money. Amen. 5 years. 5 years of study, hard study, a lot of it. Amen. I had to stay sober a good part of the time. 5 years to get that degree. And Christianity is hard. Can you imagine somebody took 5 years? Can you imagine somebody took 5 years of effort like we do on a degree? Or 4 years, whatever. You're real smart, maybe you do it in three. Take 3 to 5 years of effort. Cut out most of the distractions and say, I'm going to learn this topic. Can you imagine in 5 years what their life would be like? You'd be up here in the kingdom of God. You'd be soaring in the anointing, soaring in the gifts, soaring in wisdom of the kingdom. You follow me? And you talk about faith producing, your faith would be excelling. But because we treat it like a part-time, you know, experiment, just when it's convenient or when we have time, we don't have time to develop the believing part. It's not that hard to speak. Not that hard to go to church. Not that hard to have some word time. What takes time is the investment of programming the Word of God into you to believe. And that's where the majority of breakdowns are in faith, as they want to operate in this realm of blessing without doing the work necessary to develop the believing within. We call it mental ascension. The message sounds good. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try it. You know, and after 2 weeks of trying it, it didn't work, so they quit. You don't become a believer in 2 weeks. You can become a Christian in a moment, but you don't become a believer automatic. A believer is developed over time. And all things are possible. He didn't say to the Christian, did you follow me? He didn't say to the one that has a calling. He said all things are possible to him that believeth, which would include a Christian. Because you got to be in covenant with God to be able to access His promises. All things are possible to the believer of the Word. And you know, one of the things I try not to do is stretch people too far. Well, I'd like not to. But I understand it can be hard to come here sometimes because we don't tickle ears. We tell you what the Word says, what you can have, and what you can graduate here. I shouldn't say graduate, what you can develop here that will let you overcome. Amen? But it will require personal investment. But if you'll do it, it pays hundredfolds. You know, the people do the study, and listen, I believe in college. I have no problem with college. Both of our girls went to college. Amen? But college people will do the way, okay, I spend this much on, you know, nowadays to get a college degree, you're talking about $10,000 a year many times or more. That's cheap. So it may be $40,000 you're in the hole before you get out of school or that you've invested. And you have to weigh, okay, now if I went straight into the workforce, how much can I make? What's the break point? How many years do I have to work to pay back that $40,000 where it's worth it? You know, people go through these computations. In the kingdom of God, it's not even a question. Because God pays in hundredfolds. What you invest for His kingdom, what you set aside and prioritize time to do for Him, will pay off if you stay the course. I mean, He says, if you give somebody a glass of water in my name, you won't lose your reward. How much you've invested in so your life into seeking the things of God or developing your faith. Believing is the mandatory component to seeing the power of God move in your life and seeing your promises answered. Well, I'm just bombarding heaven with my prayers. Well, that's probably evidence you're not believing any of them. Because it says to pray one time and then stand. Decree and then protect what you've decreed. Amen? Believe those things you say should come to pass. So pray it and stand. And all things are possible to the one that will believe. I wanted to say something else about this. If I can remember what it was real quick. If you took a year, 2 years, three, 5 years, and just said, I'm going to seek God these 5 years with all my heart, you would be in the top fraction of a percentile of Christians walking in the anointing worldwide. Just through a few year investment. That's what Benny Hinn did. He invested a year. Came out with the healing power of God, totally healed. That's what Robert Slurden did and many others that experienced miracle promotions from God, is just set their face to seek God. To some level, that's what I did early on, just seeking God. And when you do, faith happens. In the world, something else happens. In the kingdom, faith happens. Believing results and power is manifested. See, I'm trying to make a shift in your thinking. I'm trying to make a shift in our thinking to cause us to recognize my efforts to seek God and develop faith are worth the investment. Because if you don't see it worth the investment, you won't do it. And if you don't do it, in 5 years, you'll be the same place you are now spiritually. Some of us went to church for years with no change. Man. No shift at all in our anointing and our victory. Praying the same prayers with the same results. Listen, if you pray the same prayer year after year and it doesn't produce, you maybe need to shift something. You know how the song goes, been married 9 times, maybe it's you. I love that. I've had 9 bad husbands in a row. Well, either you're a poor picker or a poor choice. Well, then. Here's the thing. I want what I do to produce. I don't like wasted energy. You want to know something that I hate, what I despise personally, is to do work and then it gets destroyed. Like you do a paper and you spill the milk on the paper. Or this one. Here's one. You work on your computer paper or whatever you do on a computer and the power goes out. And you didn't save it. I despise it personally because Now that represents to me wasted effort. Now I have to do it again. It wasn't so bad the first time, but to do it twice? I'm not into twice. Amen? That's why, you know, me and the wife don't get along on things like loading the dishwasher and the washing machine. Because I'll load it and she'll come around and redo it. I just wasted all that time loading it, trying to please her, because it wasn't to the right, you know, standards. Or making the bed, or doing the laundry. It doesn't matter. It's not going to be like she wanted it. But I forgive her. Is this not true? Lift your hand if that's true. Raise your hand if that's true. It's more than plastics on bottom. It was the cup on the hook or whatever. She has an alignment. It's got to be like this. You know, got to form a UK with the cups and all this stuff. I wasted effort. I hate it. So I load it again. If I know she's going to redo it, I'm wasting my effort. You follow me? So that's why she hadn't seen me do it much anymore. Actually, much ever. I learned early. The point is, I don't want to waste my effort in the kingdom of God. I prayed all night, cried tears, weep, pled with God, oh, begged God, and nothing happened. I don't like wasted effort. So I want to find out how the kingdom really produces. What is it that gives me kingdom results? That's what I want to do, because I don't want to waste all night or all day or months trying to work some formula for God, and it's the wrong formula. Here's the thing. God's got ways of operation. Let's quit trying to use ours that aren't working and find out what His are. And He says, only believe. Learn to do it by faith versus hoping and praying and wishing and thinking, you know, whining and crying. I have never seen, for the most part, the prayers of grief produce. Or the prayers of pleading. The prayers of negotiation. What's that? God, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. It doesn't work. It's not faith. If it's faith, you'll do it in advance. Amen. Well, God, I did this. Now you got to bless me. No, that's not how the kingdom operates. Amen. Believe what He has said. Oh, my goodness. Look at the time. Praise you, Jesus. Mark chapter 16. We'll close here. It's the Word. This is the Word of God. Think about it for a minute. This is God's Word given to you to let you access His power. Now let's find out what He said about accessing the power. Well, I have a Bible, but I just think I know how God will move. We have one advantage about serving God that husbands don't have regarding being married. The book that provides you understanding on how to understand your wife is much bigger than the Bible. Have you seen the pictures of it? That big book, Everything You Need to Know About Women. And it's only volume one. I've seen the pictures, right? It's a big old book. Everything You Need to Know About Women. Volume one, issue one, you know. First edition. This is everything you need to know about God. This is the very signature of God. This is all you need to know about me. But if you know this, you'll know everything about me. And he says, get in the book and find out how I move. Versus say, well, you know, I just think I know everything about women. Anybody tells me that, I know they're an idiot. Women don't know about women. Amen. It's right trying to catch the wind. Debating with your wife. Well, you know, logic dictates this. Don't use the word logic with your wife. It's like, huh? It's like, but I feel. See, God doesn't work in the feeling realm. He works in the spoken word realm, in the faith realm. Amen. So you can actually grab a hold of what God has said and stand on it and believe it. Amen. He says in Mark 16, I better get to this word before I get in trouble. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he'd risen. First thing Jesus does after he rises from the dead is rebukes the disciples. Wouldn't you love it? You know, you just watch him crucified. You're crying all your best tears. Everybody, you're weeping and wailing. And here shows up Jesus. And what are you guys doing? Where's your faith? Amen. Didn't I tell you I was going to rise from the dead? And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, say believeth, and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Signs and wonders following believers. Not just Christians, but believing Christians. If you will just shift your mind into trying to live out of the kingdom of God realm versus trying to survive in the natural realm, you will see heaven open up on your behalf. What limits us is trying to live out of this realm and occasionally access something out of that realm. Change your address. Change your address to the kingdom of God and choose to live out of that realm. And watch God move. Watch your life shift. Watch your anointing go to overflowing levels. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord God, you're moving right now on our behalf. I ask you, Lord God, to draw us deeper into you, deeper into your system of blessing, your kingdom of your creative kingdom than we've ever known. And I thank you, Lord God, for demonstrating your faithfulness to your word as we believe you, that we see accelerated manifested results. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask, is there anybody here tonight that would say,